Today on Compassion Radio.
The Word of God itself and the mission movements behind it have been one of the biggest pushes behind literacy campaigns in the world for the past 500 years. Since Gutenberg and his Bible, up till now, it has been about the Word of God first.
Right, because what a better way to teach a language, in our opinion, what a better way than to give them the Word of God so that they can learn to read in their own language and to understand the Word of God.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. The Word of God is the most important thing in the life of the follower of Christ. Without a steady diet of Scripture, we begin to starve to death spiritually. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy are going to share with us about this year's Bible Donation Project and how you can help believers on the other side of the world to receive a copy of the Bible or the Gospel of John. They'll also share some of their most powerful experiences in ministry. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's the final part of that conversation.
I think one of the most poignant memories that I have is the scene where Jesus was beaten. And it's a brutal scene in the movie itself. But these people believed that it was real. They believed that what they were seeing was actually happening at that moment. And they began to scream and wail. And they were mourning. It was a deafening scream that it was a joint. They all were screaming and they began to throw rocks at the screen to make them stop beating Jesus. And at that moment, I thought, I have never reacted to the story of Jesus' death the way these people are reacting to it right now. I grew up my entire life hearing the story, seeing the passion play, seeing television shows, reading it my entire life. And I was 24 years old before it really moved me to tears. Now that's an indictment against me right there. And I...
Maybe not an indictment, honey, but a revelation.
A revelation. It was a desperate cry that these people had, and they were deeply grieved and deeply moved by what was happening to Jesus.
I think it's important for us to acknowledge right now that they were right. If we take seriously this concept that the Word of God gives us, that Jesus is eternally crucified for us, that their experience is in the now, and if your now is very immediate and very visceral, then you're drawing close to what God says, I am. So, this story is repeated in cultures all around the world, where the now is very, very important. And God makes his now apparent to them. We talk about the difference between Chronos and Kairos. It's a great concept, but we have seen it in action ourselves over the years, that people wait very long times for something to happen, but it's the thing that happens that is important. Waiting is not nearly so bad as missing the opportunity to experience the thing that is important. And that Kairos moment is the now, when something suddenly happens and enters into the stream of time that changes everything. And these stories brought to screen, brought to life, the Word of God acted out as the great pageant that it is, the great mystery revealed, becomes a Kairos moment for so many people who hear that story for the very first time.
It's a beautiful story.
What happened after these people almost beat your screen to death?
They wanted, obviously, to know more. The story continues after that. It goes through the crucifixion, the death, and then the resurrection. And the rejoicing that happened in that village when Jesus came out of the tomb was pretty overwhelming as well. And I, again, had to check my own heart in that I had grown up with that story and had not rejoiced in such a way as I saw these people rejoice when they saw that Jesus was, in fact, alive. And it reminded me at that time that I need to live with that kind of joy and rejoicing every day, because it's true, like you said, every day it's true. Every day he is resurrected as well.
Yes.
So when the film was over, obviously I don't speak Swahili, and we only had one translator, and there were five of us in the team. The people of that village wanted to know who this man was.
Yeah.
Who is this man that...
They believed he was real.
They did. They absolutely believed that he was real. Now, in their culture, there is a mountain in that part of Kenya, and I try to pronounce it right. I think it's Aldona Zabache. They believe that God lived on that mountain, and it was a very sheer-sided mountain.
Yeah.
And when we were there, it was February of that year, there was a lot of lightning storms at the top of that mountain, and they believed that God was angry.
It's kind of like the Greeks understood Zeus.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what we were able to do, it was really kind of a beautiful thing. And the missionary that was with us and the translator worked this out, and they said, yes, there is a God. There is, God lives on this mountain. And he sent his son. This is his son that you saw the story about. They sent him to earth to be like you and to live among you. And this is what happened to him. This story is what happened to him. And he is, in fact, alive and real. And this is how you can know about him. And we had little booklets that we were able to share with them. And most of the people, and I would say probably all of the people in that village, were not able to read. Mm-hmm. So the books that we had were actually picture books.
Yeah.
And the pictures in the book very much resembled the Samburu people.
Mm-hmm.
So they could see their own likeness in these books about the story of Jesus. And we were able to leave many books with them, the Bible in picture form, for them to have the story available to them. Not only did we show them the film, but we also left these books so that they had them as a Bible mm-hmm. to read. They weren't long. It was basically the story of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, and just showing how he healed people and how he had relationship with people. And the likeness of Jesus was very similar to the likeness in the film itself. So they could relate to that and understand that that's who it was talking about.
Now, these people who responded to this story, it's an emotional appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling a story about people who were real in history, but that have an immediacy, a connection with them as viewers. These people were not just watching something happen outside them. They were invested in the story. And because of that, they could see themselves in the narrative that God was writing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they accepted it as true. Now, many of them came to follow Jesus and say, I want to follow him. So what was that like?
Well, first of all, the chief of the village was very interested in knowing more about this man, Jesus. So the national missionary that was with us spent a great deal of time with the chief alone, talking to him about Jesus, sharing the gospel with him.
There's more coming up. But right now, here's Bram to let you know how you can help with this year's Bible Donation Project.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. And now as this year wraps up, we are so excited to tell you about our 2018 year-end Compassion Radio Bibles Project. It begins this month, and it is unique in one very important way. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. This year, let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it, in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do this month to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So the national missionary that was with us spent a great deal of time with the chief alone, talking to him about Jesus, sharing the gospel with him. And the chief himself decided to become a follower of Jesus. So at that point, the chief decided that the village would follow Jesus.
Very New Testament here.
Yeah, exactly. And so he made an announcement that he wanted all of his people to sit down and to learn about Jesus. Now, there was no water, but they wanted to be baptized. So we used what we had, water bottles, and we basically just kind of dumped water on their heads. And they were excited about that, that to have this relationship with Jesus. And they trusted their chief, who had led them well. He was a very, seemed like a very old man. And the interesting thing was that he wanted to have the young men, he separated them out by ages, the young men, the old men, the old women, the young women. They were all separated out in sitting down in these different groups. And he was very intentional about talking to the young men as if he knew that they were going to be the next generation to lead this group of people. So I don't know how they come about deciding who the chief is in their culture, but he was very intentional about this and had the national missionary talking directly to these young men. And we didn't understand what they were saying, but at some point, the one of the young men stood up and walked to the front of the group. And then the rest of them stood up behind him. Then they all went to their knees. And the national missionary began to speak a prayer. And they responded. They repeated it. So when we left after 4 days, we showed the film twice. We were told by the national missionary that all of the young men had vowed to become followers of Christ. It was overwhelming to hear that because we had seen it happen. And I've often wondered, you know, what became of those young men. And I have no way of knowing at this point in my life. But I do know that the nationals were committed to going back. Now, these are nomadic people, so they would have to
find them.
But they had committed to return and find this group again. And from what the missionary told us, once the chief accepted Christ, those young men trusted him so much that they would do whatever he told them to do. Mm-hmm. And when he told them, this is the truth, you need to follow it, they trusted that.
Yeah. But something else I think transpired then that is unique, and I think it's by the Spirit of God, that the scripture that we know, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, mm-hmm. and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You saw that. Mm-hmm. At the word of the chief, they trusted. But the act of bowing the knee, they proclaim loyalty.
Yeah.
That's their decision. So I do believe the Holy Spirit entered into that for you, and you got to see it happening. I think about what's happened since. I don't know where those particular men have gone, but another story came at us just a couple of weeks ago from another friend of ours who was part of that ministry back in the 80s called the Continental Singers. He and I both directed different tours over years, and he was just recently in Ethiopia with believers in small hut churches up in the mountains, not all that far from where you were in that part of Kenya, mm-hmm. just over the mountains from where you were. But he had the experience, and hopefully I can get him on the air here during this month to talk about it, of meeting a pastor who had been pastoring for years and years and years and raising up new missionaries, young people, and he had never owned his own Bible.
In his heart language.
In his heart language. He had read other languages. And this is the big movement now, to make sure that everybody who hears God can hear him in the first person, so to speak, in the language that you know at your heart, mm-hmm. the one your mother taught you at her knee, that kind of language. And our friend Brian had a chance to present that Bible to him in his heart language. Mm-hmm. That is a generational fulfillment of the promise that you saw back in the 80s of men bowing their knee to Jesus. They were, at the time you saw them, illiterate. And we've learned over the years, in the past 20 or 30 years, that there's been a huge literacy campaign mm-hmm. throughout Kenya and Central Africa to see people come to know their languages and be able to use them, and then go on to be able to be proficient in other foreign languages that are useful for commerce, like English. Mm-hmm. And now, when you go with these villages, you might see them walking around with cell phones and actually reading things along the way as they walk, just like we do. It's vastly different technologically than it was, and they are vastly more educated than they were even in the generation you saw them. But the need and the desire to know God's word is just growing. It's not diminishing. So it has now come, for me, almost full circle to see something that was brand new, that was orality, spoken word only in your generation of sharing the gospel through the Jesus film, become something that's become a hunger for the written word of God. Mm-hmm. And that happens in every generation now. And the word of God itself and the mission movements behind it have been one of the biggest pushes behind literacy campaigns in the world for the past 500 years. Since Gutenberg and his Bible, up till now, it has been about the word of God first.
Right, because what a better way to teach a language, in our opinion, what mm-hmm. a better way than to give them the word of God so that they can learn to read in their own language and to understand the word of God.
Now, the kind of Bibles and Gospels of John and New Testaments that our Compassion Radio partners are helping us to send to China and to Central Asia this year, many of them will be going to people who are first-time believers, young believers, new believers, might also be first-time readers. Mm. So they're being introduced to how to function in reading in their own heart language for the first time. It may be the very first piece of paper they own that has words printed on it in their own language.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And we want to send as many as possible, of course. So I want to wrap up this particular segment and just remind our listeners that this is our birthday present to Jesus this year. And we're doing something like we've never done before. We are sending 250,000 of these copies of the Gospel of John, New Testaments, and full Bibles to these parts of the world that we've always been focused on. Now, Compassion Radio partners, you have been with us for 30 years doing this. And over that span of time, we've been able to see about 500,000 copies of God's Word in the hands of people who want it. This year, we're asking you for 250,000. That seems impossible, but it's not. One, because of economy. The kind of printing they're able to do on the field now is getting less and less expensive to produce. At the same time, we have people closer and closer to the last mile tribes to be able to deliver those Bibles and Gospels of John to those people. So the opportunity and the investment is coming together in kind of a sweet spot. Plus, we are now underwritten these last 2 months of the year for the very first time that Compassion Radio has ever done this. People who believe in giving Bibles are saying, we will make sure you stay on the air during those months. Just give Bibles. So this paradigm, this new way of doing ministry for us needs to be proven, and it needs to be proven now. So if you've ever thought about giving through Compassion Radio to what God's doing around the world, this is the month to do it. Mm-hmm. We can't ask you more urgently than that. At the end of December, we will have to move on and figure out what's next. And we're looking at other ministries who are studying this paradigm closely, saying, we would love to see something similar happen for us in the ministries that we do around the world. We would love to invite your partners in with us then. But we have to prove that we can do this.
Well, this is exciting to me, Bram, on so many levels. But the one thing that I love so much about this, the way that we're doing it in November and December, is that we can tell our listeners, when you say, I want to give $10 toward Bibles for China, $10 goes to Bibles for China.
Or 100, or 1,000.
Right.
Or 10,000, who knows? The goal is going to cost about $200,000 to do what we're talking about doing. And it's really nothing compared to the numbers that we're actually talking about delivering to the field. 250,000 Bibles in a total cost, less than that per Bible being a dollar or so. I mean, the cost of full Bibles and New Testaments might be more than the Gospels of John, but all the way across the board in number count, 245,000 copies of the Word of God, 250,000. And only costing us to deliver to the field around a dollar per unit is pretty darn amazing. I mean, so we're excited about that, of course, but it's not because it's economic to do this that we're going at that, such a big goal. It's because it's a faith stretch for us, period. As a ministry, I'm laying it all on the line, folks. I'm saying, these are the marbles. We're putting them on the table saying, if you want us to be a ministry that actually does and goes and tells you the story of what God did when he went, we need to find partners like you and underwriters like ministries and friends of ministries to say, we want our giving to go as far as possible to the last mile where it's needed the most. We have to act with great generosity when the opportunity presents itself. No matter what's happened politically or sociologically in your own country, you can be part of the greatest move of God in history, which is to bring the Word of God to the ends of the earth. And it's going to happen in this century. Whether we do it or not, God's going to find a way.
But let's be part of it.
Amen. So that's what we're challenging our partners to do, is to step up like they've never done before and imagine the Bibles under your tree this Christmas. Mm-hmm. Talk to your kids about this. Put a card on the tree that says, I gave Bibles. Do it and be part of this movement. That's all I'm asking. Do what you can and then ask God to help you do more. Mm. That's all.
Now, if you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of people who have never before heard the good news of Jesus Christ in India, Nepal, and China, people who may have never even seen a Bible, please contact us right now. You can call 800-868-2478. That's 800-868-2478. You can go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can text the word Bibles to 53445. That's the word Bibles to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bible Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do to help us in our efforts to get God's Word out to those who need it the most. And remember, every dollar you donate will be matched in an unlimited way all the way up to midnight, December 31st. Please join us again next time for Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ministries and your generous support.